Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Here we start letters and sayings of Imam Ali. Letter number 1. The following is the letter sent by Imam Ali through Imam Hussein and Amr Yasir to the people of Kufa before he proceeded to Basra for the Battle of Jamal. This letter is from the servant and creature of Allah, Ali Amirul Mu'mineen, to Kufiyats who are leaders of Ansar and respectable persons. After praising Allah and invoking His blessings on the Holy Prophet, I want to throw light on the event of the assassination of Uthman and to make the whole affair as clear as if you were present on the occasion and were witnessing the event yourself. People were dissatisfied with him and were accusing and blaming him. Out of the Muhajirs, I was the only man who wanted to appease and pacify the people and who did not want to indulge in the activities of those dissatisfied persons. While Talha and Zubair were instigating the populace in such a way that the least they said was worse than the worst that could be asserted or alleged against Uthman, their whispering campaign was deadlier than the loudest propaganda which could be carried on. Aisha also exhibited extreme annoyance and anger against him. Under such conditions, some persons resolved to kill him and they murdered him. Then everybody, friends and foes alike, came to me and took the oath of allegiance to me. This was done without any desire, instigation, inducement, persuasion, or compulsion and force on my part. They came to me of their own free will, without hesitation, and with pleasure, ecstasy, and joy. Let it be known to you that the people of the city towards which the Holy Prophet had migrated, Medina, is being deserted by its inhabitants. They are leaving it. It is seething with discontentment and rebellion. A seditious campaign has started against the Amir. I want you to come to the help of your Amir to fight against his enemies. Letter 2. After the conquest of Basra, Imam Ali wrote the following letter to the citizens of Kufa. O citizens of Kufa, may the merciful Lord reward you on His behalf and on behalf of the Ahlul Bayt, progeny of the Holy Prophet, for obeying their orders and coming to their help. May He reward you more handsomely than He rewards those who obey His commands, because you followed the true path against very heavy odds and in spite of alluring enticements. You have done your duty. You heard the call of your Amir, responded to it. He called you and you obeyed His orders with zeal and enthusiasm. Letter 3. Shura bin Harith had been holding an important post during the previous regimes. Imam Ali had also appointed him as a Qazi, chief judge of Kufa. It was brought to the notice of Imam Ali that he had purchased a house for himself in the city, rather a costly and expensive house, perhaps more expensive and luxurious than his status demanded, and that too rather at a cheaper price. Imam Ali called him and asked of him, "I am given to understand that you have purchased this house for 80 dinars. Dinar was a gold coin like pound and lira. And a sale seed has also been completed, regularizing it with signatures of witnesses." Shura'i replied, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is a fact." Hearing this, Imam Ali felt annoyed and said to him, "Shura'i, be warned that a thing, death, will come to you. It will not take any notice of this sales deed, nor will it accept the testimony of the witness, but it will take you out of this house alone and unattended, and will drag you to your grave. And before such a thing happens, you must think well over the fact whether you have purchased this house with the money which did not belong to you, but to somebody else, and whether the purchase price was acquired with foul means, or it was an ill-gotten wealth which met its cost. If it was so, then remember that you will part through death with this house, and in the bargain you will lose your place in paradise. If you had come to me prior to this transaction, I would have drafted such a sales deed for you that you would not have cared to purchase this property even for a dirham." Dirham was a coin much lower than the dinar. "You know what the transfer deed would have been like? It would have been purchased in the following words: a humble and a powerless creature has purchased this house from another mortal being. Its boundaries are as follows. On one side, it is bounded by calamities and disasters. On the other side, with disappointments and sorrows. On the third side, its borders are covered with ordinate and excessive desires, ending in failures, and on the fourth side, it adjoins the misleading and captivating allurements of Satan. And the door of this house opens towards this fourth side. A man leading his life under the merciless grip of intemperate and disorderly desires has purchased this house from another person who is being relentlessly pursued by death. And for the purchase price, he has bargained the glory of an honorably contented and respectable way of living against the detestable life of submitting to every form of humiliation for profits and pleasures. The buyer had not realized what sorrows and degradations he was purchasing and what he was paying in by way of the cost. His delivery now lies in the hands of one who throws the bodies of kings into dust and overthrows their empires, who ends the lives of despots, and who brought to an end the dominations of Egypt, Persia, Greece, Rome, and Himyars, and kings of Yemen, who had destroyed the wealth, power, and glory of all those individuals who had amassed wealth, gathered property, built very strong and durable houses, furnished them with the choicest and most costly furniture, and surrounded them with beautiful gardens. Those people were imagining that they and their descendants would enjoy the fruits of their labors, though in reality, every one of the house so built or the article so collected will have to be accounted for one, the day of judgment, the day when people will be rewarded or punished according to their deeds, the day on which evildoers will suffer for their vicious and wicked ways. Your mind will corroborate and confirm this if it is kept free from intemperate ambition, from lust for alluring things, from sensuality, and from vicious affections and attachments. Letter 4. A letter to one of the commanders of his army. If our enemies agree to obey us, it will be as I desire. But if they adamantly insist upon dissension and revolt, then be ready to fight against them with the help of your faithful followers. Trust those who have proved themselves faithful. Do not trust and do not count upon the help of those who have proved faithless and disloyal. Remember that the absence of those who do not join us willingly and sincerely is better than their presence in our ranks, and their inactivity and lethargy is better than their participation in our activities. Letter 5. Ashraf bin Qais was a hypocrite and time server. For some time he attached himself to Imam Ali, pretending to be his sincere follower. The ulterior motive behind this was to amass wealth and to grasp power. Imam Ali had appointed him as the governor of Azerbaijan. He started collecting and procuring wealth by every means possible. When this was reported to Imam Ali, he wrote the following letter to Ashraf. On receipt of this letter, he wanted to abscond with the wealth so amassed, but good counsels prevailed upon him, and he was persuaded by Hujr bin Abdi Kindi to go to Imam Ali. When his accounts were audited, he had to surrender 400,000 dirhams. Verily, you have neither been entrusted with the governorship so that you amass wealth, nor is it a tasty and juicy morsel to be swallowed up. On the contrary, it is a trust committed to your care. Its responsibility lies upon your shoulders. Your Amir, meaning Imam Ali himself, has appointed you as a shepherd and guardian of the people. You have no right to do as you like and to act independently without seeking his advice and permission. In all important affairs of the state and the public, your decision must be based on true facts and sound reasons. In your control and custody, there is one of the treasuries of Allah. You are only a treasurer. You have no right to make personal use of any part of this wealth. It is your duty to pass it on to whom it belongs. I hope you will not give me a chance to prove myself a hard taskmaster and a harsh administrator. May you see the light. Letter 6. Following is a letter to Muawiyah, and in it Imam Ali has used the same principle that he applied on Talha and Zubair. Imam Ali in this letter has raised all the points which were once quoted against him. He says, if an election on the basis of general franchise is the criterion to decide such a caliphate, then general election took place to elect him, the caliph, and nobody can deny this fact. And if limited franchise, shura, was the criterion, than those who represented this group, Muhajirs and Ansar, were amongst those who elected him, and therefore, even according to the rules formulated by upon of Imam Ali, his election was lawful, regular, and bona fide. Thus, no Muslim has a right to speak or act against him. Verily, those who took the oath of allegiance to Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman have sworn allegiance to me. Now those who were present at the election have no right to go back upon their oaths of allegiance, and those who were not present on the occasion have no right to oppose me. And so far as Shura, limited franchise or selection, was concerned, it was supposed to be limited to Muhajirs and Ansar, and it was also supposed that whomsoever they selected became caliph as per approval and pleasure of Allah. If somebody goes against such decision, then he should be persuaded to adopt the course followed by others. And if he refuses to fall in line with others, then war is the only course left open to be adopted against him. And as he refused to follow the course followed by the Muslims, Allah will let him wander in the wilderness of his ignorance and schism. O Muawiyah, I am sure that if you give up self-aggrandizement and self-interest, if you forsake the idea of being alive only to personal profits and pleasures, if you cease to be actuated solely by selfishness, and if you ponder over the incident leading to the murder of Uthman, you will realize that I cannot at all be held responsible for the affair, and I am the least concerned with the episode. But it is a different thing that you create all these false rumors and carry on this heinous propaganda to gain your ulterior motives. Well, you may do whatever you like. Letter 7. A letter to Muawiyah on receiving letters from him based on hypocritical advice and false accusations. To know who was Muawiyah and what claim he had on the caliphate, and how he could aspire for the place, it is necessary to know a few historical background. Ibn Athir, Ibn Khaldun, Tabari, Damayari, and Khatib Baghdad may be referred to in this respect. A gist of the facts is given below. Abu Sufyan was the arch enemy of the Holy Prophet and Islam. It was he who originally insinuated Quraysh against the Holy Prophet, and along with various clans of Quraysh like Bani As, Bani Umayya, Bani Tayyam, etc. He made the very existence of the Holy Prophet precarious and caused him to migrate to Medina. But he was not satisfied still. He found the Prophet of Allah receiving support in Medina, bent upon killing the Holy Prophet and bringing an end to his mission. He brought about the battles of Badr, Uhud, and Khandaq. But Allah bestowed victory upon the Muslims in all those battles. And in the end, Abu Sufyan and Quraysh had their final defeat in the conquest of Makkah. After the fall of Makkah, when he found that he had lost everything and there was no alternative left for him and no backing, Abu Sufyan embraced Islam to save his life, property, and position. After this conversion, up to the demise of the Holy Prophet, he was tolerated as a mu'allafatul qalb, those who were to be tolerated and treated well, so as to keep Muslims safe from their Cold War and active hostilities. After the passing away of the Holy Prophet, Abu Sufyan wanted to gain the favor of Imam Ali, but Imam Ali refused to be allured by him, as he knew the desires which were burning in the heart of Abu Sufyan. The desire to check the advancement of Islam openly or covertly, and to avenge the defeats suffered by him at the hands of Bani Hashim, the clan of the Holy Prophet, and the desire to bring disunity amongst the Muslims. Abu Sufyan had tried his best to hide his intentions, but it was not difficult to know his mind. He approached Caliph Abu Bakr and his own eldest son Yazid. The elder brother of Muawiyah, who was appointed governor of Syria by the first caliph. After the death of Yazid, his younger brother Muawiyah became governor. Thus, Abu Sufyan's family got the chance of grasping a stronghold on Syria. Though caliphate of the third caliph, Muawiyah did not come to his help, though the caliph wrote to him thrice to send his army to the capital so that those who had risen against him might be suppressed. Muawiyah simply ignored to respond to those orders, and in the end, when he sent a contingent, it was with significant orders not to approach the capital and to stay at a place about 30 miles away from Medina until further orders. Thus, the army stayed there until the caliph was killed. When after this event, Muawiyah felt that the people had gathered around Imam Ali and he had assumed the rulership of the Muslim state, Muawiyah started the propaganda that Imam Ali was the cause of Caliph Uthman's murder. It was he who insinuated Talha and Zubair to rise for caliphate and gave them the idea of falsely blaming Imam Ali for the murder of Caliph Uthman. He himself carried on this propaganda as intensely as possible, and as a part of the Cold War, he started writing letters to Imam Ali. Some of them contained advice for repentance. Some carried counsels for Imam Ali to adopt a pious life, etc. Imam Ali, in his various letters, replied to him to abstain from that unholy propaganda. Following letter is one of them. This note was considered necessary to explain the historical background to the correspondence exchanged between Imam Ali and Muawiyah. After praising Allah and invoking his blessings and peace on the Holy Prophet, I write to inform you that I am in receipt of many of your letters, which appear to consist various pieces of advice to me. You have very cunningly tried to coach them in flowery words and phrases. You have done this because of your natural evil-mindedness and because of the envy, enmity, and malice you bear against me. These kinds of letters show that they have been written from a person who has no inner light and no benevolent guide to show him the true path. Avarice, self-aggrandizement, and lust of power prompt him to do so, and he jumped at the suggestion. It is a letter from a person whom selfishness leads to go astray and who has lost his sense of proportion, and therefore it contains no sense and no real worth. Some commentators consider the following passage are part of the above letter. Remember the allegiance and fidelity sworn to me is such that it does not require reconsideration on the part of those who have sworn it, nor are they at liberty from religious point of view to go back upon it. Therefore, those who belittle it, scoff at it, or go back upon it are hypocrites and traitors. Letter 8. Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali was sent to Damascus. He was carrying a letter for Muawiyah. Some delay occurred in his return. Imam Ali felt anxious about his safety and wrote the following letter to him. After praising Allah and the Holy Prophet, I want to advise you that as soon as you receive this letter of mine, force Muawiyah for a reply to my letter written to him. Compel him to come to a decision and to give a final reply. He must decide between two things, either war or obedience. If it is going to be a war, then I shall get ready to fight against him. And if it is going to be peace, then you must make him swear the oath of allegiance to me, and then you must return. Letter 9. A letter to Muawiyah. Quraysh was our tribe, but they wanted to kill the Holy Prophet and to exterminate our family. They conspired against us and made plots after plots to harm us. They tried their worst to frighten and injure us. They forced us to leave our homes and to retire to the cave of Shib Abi Talib. It was a very rough and hard place to live in, and it was a very harsh life we were forced to lead. They instigated their tribes as well as other clans to fight against us. The merciful Allah came to our help. He protected and defended us. From amongst us, those who had faith in Holy Prophet and Islam stood up to defend him and his cause. Their desire was to achieve the favor of the Lord, and those of Bani Hashim who had not embraced Islam as yet, like Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, also came to our help because we belonged to them and they to us. From amongst Quraysh, the condition of those who embraced Islam was not as bad as ours. Either they had defensive alliance with the non-believers, or some tribes decided to defend them despite the differences of religion. While it was the practice of the Holy Prophet that whenever a battle was raged and his companions behaved cowardly or ran away from the battlefield, as in Badr, Uhud and Hunan, which was usually the case, or started making the Muslims nervous, as in Khandaq, he sent members of his family, Bani Hashim, to fight out the battle to protect his companions. These Bani Hashim often fought single-handedly, and some of whom met martyrdom, as for instance, Ubaidah bin Harith was killed in the Battle of Badr, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib in Uhud, and Ja'far bin Abu Talib in the Battle of Mutah. Besides these three, there was another person, here Imam Ali meant himself, who also tried his best to meet martyrdom. I could name him, but the date of his death had not yet approached, and he passed through these terrible ordeals alive.